A couple of weeks ago, something very, very strange happened in one of the most anticipated college basketball games of the year. This was North Carolina versus Duke, arch rivals, top 10 teams, and Duke has this player named Zion Williamson who is probably the single most amazing college player I have ever seen in my life. So we're 30 seconds into the game. Williamson has the ball. He's driving, spinning.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson.
Yeah, he falls down. And as the announcers keep watching the replay of this, they start to realize that Zion Williamson fell and got hurt because his Nike shoe had split open. Like, the sole just ripped away from the fabric and he slid to the floor.
That's unbelievable.
He broke his shoe with his own foot.
Zion Williamson sat out for the rest of the game with a knee injury, apparently because his Nike basketball shoe had blown out. The next day, Nike stock dropped. Nike itself had to issue a statement saying this was, quote, an isolated incident, but that the company would launch an investigation. And as I'm watching all of this unfold, my first thought is, of course, about Zion Williamson's health, and luckily it looks like he's going to be fine. But my second thought was, holy crap, we did an entire episode that we never thought would be relevant again, but suddenly it was. So today we are going to replay that episode, the story of the last time there was a major investigation into and a national obsession with the quality of a basketball sneaker. Hey. Did I get a package?
Yeah, it's on top of the crate.
Do you know what these are?
Are these your sneakers? Steph stars? Steph berries?
Close. Oh, I'm so excited. Here they are.
Are these used?
Yeah, they're like,
It's all sweaty, man.
They're not sweaty.
Look at it. There's like sweat, like stains.
Okay, that's probably sweat. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Kenny Malone. That was my wife, Hannah. And those sweaty eBay sneakers that I'm wearing on my feet right now as I speak, they are one of the most extraordinary experiments in basketball sneaker history. Today on the show, we know that you can put a famous basketball player's name on a pair of shoes and charge more money. But what happens when you put an NBA All-Star's name on a pair of shoes and charge less? Much, much less. But like, okay.
Don't wear, wear socks.
No, I'll wear socks.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from TD Ameritrade. You know that feeling when you actually wake up early to hit the gym? Get the same sense of satisfaction when you roll over your old 401k with TD Ameritrade. Their team of rollover specialists handles the hassle. They'll even call your old provider. Get up to $600 when you roll over your old 401k into an IRA. Visit tdameritrade.com/rollover to learn about retirement plan alternatives and offer conditions and restrictions. Member SIPC.
This season on Invisibilia, should we empathize with our enemies?
Femoids should f***ing die.
Is it okay to have machines control our emotions?
I should be kind of creeped out, but at the same time, I'm like, well, thank God I live in this day and age.
No easy answers, just the right questions. Invisibilia, back on March 8th.
The man behind the sneakers that I'm wearing is an NBA All-Star named Stephon Marbury, and he grew up during the basketball sneaker revolution. So you would go to your mom and you would say, I'm playing basketball, I need these sneakers.
No, I didn't say I need, I said I want.
Important distinction here?
Of course, especially with my mother.
When Stephon was born in 1977, basketball shoes were essentially just a piece of sports equipment, like knee pads for your feet. The most iconic brand for decades was a shoe called the Chuck Taylor All-Star. They were basic, affordable shoes, canvas, rubber, nothing fancy. But when Stephon was 8 years old, the sneaker game changed. In 1985, Nike released this commercial. There's Michael Jordan. He is soaring in slow motion through the air.
Who said man was not meant to fly? Air.
Air Jordan.
It was the first Air Jordan sneaker, and it was beautiful. It looked like a sports car, white and black leather with streaks of red. Stores couldn't keep these things in stock. People were wearing them as shoes, not just as basketball shoes, and they cost a lot. The Air Jordan 1 retailed for $65. That's $150 in today's money. And then the next year, 1986,
Air Jordan.
The Jordan 2 came out.
It's all in the imagination.
Those cost even more, $100. The Jordan 4s cost $110. The Jordan 5s cost $125. Stefan was 13 years old when those Jordan 5s came out. He was living in Coney Island, Brooklyn, one of seven kids. His family didn't have a lot. And so when Stefan asked his mom for those shoes, she was not having it.
I mean, my mother, if I asked my mother for a pair of shoes at that price, the reply was, boy, those are groceries for the month. Why am I going to go spend that type of money for a pair of shoes?
And you would say what?
Because everybody else got them. Oh, yeah? Well, you're not going to be the one that's going to have a pair. But it wasn't because she didn't want to buy them. It was because she couldn't buy them.
Stefan says this planted a seed for him. He always wondered, couldn't there be another option here? Does a famous player's basketball shoe always have to be so expensive? Now, a lot of kids might think this, but Stefan got to do something about it because he grew up, he got very good at basketball, and in 1996, he was drafted into the NBA.
The Milwaukee Bucks select Stefan Marbury.
The camera cuts to the whole Marbury family. They are freaking out.
And pandemonium reigns backstage. Stefan Marbury is standing by now with Greg Singer.
And there's this moment right here that makes me love Stefan Marbury. Because on the first question, which totally just sounds like an icebreaker, he just starts weeping.
Did anybody in your family sleep last night? What was it like?
I can't even. 20 long years. You waited for this day? And it's here. It's here now.
What has this been talked about in your family? What has it been like?
The camera cuts backstage, and now Stefan's mother is dancing.
It just feels so good. I can put a permanent smile on my mother's face.
Stefan joined the NBA. He became an NBA All-Star twice. And year after year, famous player after famous player signed endorsement deals to sell shoes at ridiculously high prices. And Stefan doesn't remember the exact moment, but an idea started to form. And you can think of it this way. A sneaker is made up of foam and rubber and leather. And by attaching a famous basketball player's name, you get to charge more, and kids go crazy for them. But could you use an endorsement to do the exact opposite? To take the same shoe of foam and rubber and leather and attach a famous basketball player's name, but charge less, and still have it be cool, still get the kind of buzz the Air Jordan got? Stefan wanted to know, could I make affordable sneakers cool?
I can see my mom. I can see my mom being able to do something for all of her kids.
So is that who you picture?
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
In 2005, after he'd been in the NBA for almost a decade, Stefan finally met someone who could help him make this happen, a guy named Howard Schachter.
He's always talked about there has to be a different way. Well, we were the different way.
Howard worked for a clothing company called Steve and Barry's, founded by a pair of Long Islanders named Steve and Barry. It was a relatively unknown chain that sold clothes at ridiculously low prices. And they said they were able to do this a couple of ways. For one, they cut out the middleman. They manufactured their own line of clothes in China. They took the smallest markup that they could possibly afford. They basically had no advertising budget. And then they opened stores in struggling malls where they would ask for discounts or free space. This was the business model. But now, Steve and Barry's wanted to get into the athletic sneaker market. Howard personally had a vision for a cheap basketball shoe, and he wanted to have a famous basketball player attached. People had told him that Stefan Marbury happened to be a famous basketball player looking to make shoes cheaper.
There was just like a light bulb went off, and they said, you know, Steph could be the perfect athlete.
So word gets to Stefan that Steve and Barry's would like to meet with him. And his first thought, who and who?
I didn't know. I mean, I learned of them before the meeting, and I was like, this is, you know, I got to see this for myself.
So Stephon took this meeting, and he remembers Stephen Barry's laying out their vision for the sneaker. They're going to call it the Starberry. That's been Stephon's nickname since high school. And they had brought some prototypes, plus some clothes that would be part of the Starberry line.
They start showing me, and, you know, this is the stuff that we're making. The quality is really good, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm saying, okay, cool. I was like, how much is all of that? How much? It's like $15. I was like, oh, y'all gonna make all of that stuff for $15? Damn. And then he was like, no, we're going to sell all of this stuff. All this stuff you see is going to be $15 or less. I said, yeah, okay. Like, all right. And it was like, no, serious, for real. And then I was like, if you're telling me you can make all of these different things and you can sell everything under $15, let's do this deal.
Now, there are two ways to think about endorsements. The obvious one is that you want to go out and find the most famous, the biggest, like the best person and attach them to your product. At this point in his career, Stephon Marbury wasn't really any of those things. But the other way of thinking of endorsements is that if you have the right product and the right person and the story is perfect, then maybe you don't have to be the most famous person in the world. So yeah, there's a place for the Air Jordan where you have the most famous basketball player matched up with the most expensive, most elite shoe. But maybe there's also a place for the Starberry, where you have a less famous basketball player who has a great story about how he couldn't afford those shoes, but now he's matched up with a $15 sneaker. On August 17th, 2006, the shoe dropped. The Starberry one went on sale exclusively at Stephen Barry's.
Another basketball star is lending his name to a new sneaker.
Stephon Marbury unveils his line of high tops at a low cost.
His Starberry One basketball shoe
will cost $14.98,
making them affordable for low-income families.
The story was everywhere, and so is Stephon, showing off this new sneaker. The Starberry One is a mostly white shoe. It has dark veins of blue cutting across the upper. That's the part that goes over the top of your foot. The sole of the shoe was New York Knicks orange, the team Stephon was playing for at the time. People seemed excited to see it, but over and over, the same question kept coming up.
One question I might ask is, are you cutting corners at the production end? Because that's a sensitive issue.
Not at all.
Everybody thought, if this costs $15, it cannot possibly be a good basketball sneaker. On Good Morning America, Diane Sawyer was worried about the bottom of the shoe.
I was asking, is this enough traction to play basketball in here? I
mean, Jimmy Kimmel showed a picture of Stephon holding up a shoe that looked like someone had pulled it out of a dumpster.
Oh, what do you want? They're $15.
What the Starberry had was a price signaling problem. In the marketing and retail world, prices communicate so much information, especially in an aspirational market like athletics. So when you go out and you buy a new golf club for a little bit more money, you're hoping that that is going to buy you performance. Like maybe your drive will be 10 yards longer or something. And so pricing the Starberry at $14.98 had unintentionally signaled that this sneaker is crap. The fancy shoes are 10 times more money. Does that mean that they are 10 times better? Does that mean that the Starberry is 10 times worse? So you premiere the shoe. So before we talked, I went on eBay. Get this out here. The price signaling problem dominated the Starberry's conversation. And what Stephon kept saying was, if people would just try these things out, they would see that these are not 10 times worse. So these shoes are 10 years old. I bought these on eBay. They're my size. I'm going to put these through the ringer, man. I'm going to play games on it. I might try to run a half marathon.
My prediction is that they're going to hold up. You're going to run a half marathon?
I'm going to try.
Try.
I haven't trained for it.
You're good.
Okay.
You're good, baby. Go for it.
All right.
Go for it.
1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. Shoes kind of heavy. Don't breathe well, but not the problem. I am the problem. Okay, 6 miles. 6.55. Oh, God.
All right, fine, whatever. I did a half of a half marathon.
Terrible idea. Shoes held up fine.
They also actually held up really well running and cutting on a basketball court.
Feel good.
But listen, these are not the exact same as a $150 pair of shoes. Many of the differences are just cosmetic. It looks very simple. The laces aren't fancy. And I suspect the leather upper is actually pleather, although I've never gotten a straight answer on that. But there are things that seem more important, like there's no mesh for breathing, there's no air bubble in the heel. That said, It is way closer to an expensive shoe than I expected. And so when the shoe came out, the goal was to get people to try it and have the same experience I had. Stefan went on interview after interview trying to convince people, just give it a chance. My favorite way that Stefan did this was he tried so hard to just get someone to take a Starberry and to take an expensive shoe and to do an analysis by chopping them both in half.
If you take a $200 shoe and you take my shoe and you cut both of the shoes down the middle with a chainsaw.
He challenged people to this over and over.
You took both of the shoes and you took a sword and cut both of them down the middle.
And then finally, someone actually took Stefan up on this.
Cut it down in half, it'll do the same exact thing.
Really?
It was John Stossel on 2020. He actually took a pair of Jordans and a pair of Starberries to a sneaker expert.
So he cut both shoes up, and he and others in the business concluded
they're constructed the same way.
Now, the Air Jordans do have this thing that looks like an air vent, but oops, it's closed.
I actually talked to the guy who was in charge of designing Air Jordans at the time, a sneaker legend named Dwayne Edwards.
Oh, yeah, we bought a pair just to see, because we were curious, too. Like, how'd they pull this off?
And Dwayne said, yeah, we actually chopped a pair of them open, too. It was about the bare minimum you need to build a basketball shoe. He wouldn't go play in it. But that said,
is it better than you would expect a $15 sneaker to be?
It was. It was, honestly. Oh, absolutely.
People cutting the shoe open, great. But Howard Schachter from Stephen Barry's says that both he and Stefan knew there was really only one test that ultimately mattered. Can an NBA player wear these $15 shoes in a real NBA game?
It's very easy to rip a $15 anything.
Yeah.
But if an NBA player can entrust their body to these, it's got to be good enough. It's got to be good enough.
The shoe launched in the summer during the offseason, so people had months to speculate about whether the shoe could hold up or not. And then on November 1st, 2006, the day arrived. The first game of the season, New York Knicks versus the Memphis Grizzlies. There's Stefan wearing the black version of the Starberry, the version he wore for away games. Howard Schachter remembers watching this.
Enormous pride every time they showed him and you saw that logo, say, wow, we actually, this little company nobody ever heard of, we made it. We got this NBA star is wearing the sneaker we thought about on court.
The game was going great. It was the third quarter. Stefan and the Knicks were leading by 9 points.
And then all of a sudden, I think Steph tripped or something.
Oh, Stefan has turned his ankle. He's asking to come out of the game.
I'm thinking it better not have been the shoe.
Remember, he's playing in those reduced priced shoes.
The wind is knocked out of me, like, God forbid the shoe ripped on court or it didn't hold the traction and he slipped and tore his knee or something. You know, it's done.
Stefan goes over to the bench. The game goes on without him, and somebody rushes over to look at his foot. And everyone is like, oh, my God, let's hope it wasn't the shoe's fault. Like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Probably.
Stefan was totally fine. He'd gotten kicked in the shin or something. Came back into the game, and honestly, he doesn't even remember it.
You know, it's part of basketball.
When the next game came, Stefan wore the $15 shoe again. And then the next game and the next game. For the entire season, Stefan Marbury wore a $15 sneaker. Sales of the Starberry took off. Stephen Barry's expanded the line beyond just the basketball sneaker. And in total, over the next year and a half, they sold around 4 million pairs of Starberry sneakers. And Stefan, for his part, he earned around $8 million in royalties off of clothes and shoes. Now, these are not Air Jordan numbers, but remember, they didn't have to be because Stefan was making affordable shoes that people wanted, and he was making money. The experiment was a success. It had worked. Stefan likes to point to this one moment in particular that sums this up for him. It's from one of his store appearances, and there's actually video of this.
When there's a little kid, he's shopping with his mom, and he's picking out all of these clothes, and then he just goes and he walks to the camera. And he said,
"I'm in a dream.
I'm living in a dream.
Me, I'm in a dream.
Me, I'm in a dream."
That dream, it did not last forever, because in 2008, the financial crisis hit. Howard Schachter says it hit Stephen Barry's particularly hard.
Retailers that work on thin margin rely heavily on the credit markets to give them a line of credit in which to go out and buy inventory, and then you sell that inventory and pay back the bank and keep going.
But credit lines froze up, and Stephen Barry's filed for bankruptcy. Without the store, the $15 sneaker experiment was done. Stephen Barry's was the exclusive provider of the sneaker, and they were the ones handling the manufacturing in China.
Those were their connections. Right. Those weren't my connections.
Other things were also going badly for Stefan at this moment. His father had died tragically. His basketball team was struggling, and he was getting blamed for it. Plus, he wasn't young anymore. And so in 2009, he decided it was time to move on. Stefan left the NBA, and he left the Starberry sneaker experiment behind. But then, Stefan Marbury resurrected his career in the one place that might still give his sneaker dream a chance.
Ni hao, wo shi ma bu li.
After the break, Stefan Marbury goes to China.
Wo ai zhong guo.
What does that mean?
I love China.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the new Capital One Saver Card. Now when you go out, you cash in. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet?
What does it take to turn an idea into reality, even when no one else believes you can? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on How I Built This, I speak with innovators about their influential brands and the stories behind them, the failures, triumphs, and everything in between.
In 2010, after Stefan Marbury had left the NBA, he went to play professional basketball in China. After a couple years, he landed on the Beijing Ducks, a beloved perennial underdog that had never won a championship.
So we go, we win 13 games in a row, out the gate.
Stefan Marbury led the Beijing Ducks to its first championship, and then another, and then another. He has since become one of the most famous basketball players in Chinese basketball history.
It's like a whole new life, baby. I can't tell you no lie. It's the truth. Statues, museums.
Am I mistaken? There was like a musical also?
Yeah, I did a musical. I did a play.
From that moment, our lives changed.
The Vice News organization actually went and recorded this play.
I am Marbury. We are all Marbury.
Stefan is now very well connected in China, the global capital of sneaker manufacturing. And of course, basketball players are still putting their names on basketball sneakers and charging an absurd amount. And so Stefan has decided it is time to bring back the Starberry, a solid, affordable basketball shoe with his name on it. There's currently a limited run of Starberries available online. They're ramping up production now, and Stefan will still sell a $15 basketball sneaker. Can you still make and sell basketball sneakers for $15 that you could play basketball in?
Yes, you can.
It's happening.
It is happening.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited. Because I want all the little kids to be happy when they're playing on the court with fresh pair of kicks. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's really about.
This time around, though, he's also going to be selling some higher-end shoes. Although, for Stefan, higher-end means $50, $60. The shoes will mostly be sold online, but there is a plan to have a couple of flagship stores. One in Brooklyn, possibly Coney Island, the neighborhood where Stefan grew up. The other one in Stefan's new hometown, Beijing. All right, Future Kenny here with an update. Starberry shoes are still being sold today. According to their website, you can get a pair online or at select City Trends stores, but they do cost a little bit more than $15 now. The cheapest men's shoes go for $19.98. As for Stefan Marbury, he fully retired from basketball in 2018, and in the final seconds of his final professional game in China, Stefan pulled up for a three-point shot. The crowd held its breath, I assume. I wasn't there, but he drained the shot. His team won. He ended his career on a make. This episode was originally produced by Sally Helm with an assist from Elizabeth Kulas. This update was produced by our intern, Rachel Cohn. Planet Money's editor is Bryant Urstadt. Our supervising producer is Alex Goldmark. Special thanks this week to Edward Saakashvili and to Chuck Tattlebaum, who helped me make sense of hundreds of pages of bankruptcy filings. If you would like to tell us about, I don't know, your sneaker blowing out or something, you can let us know. We are planetmoney@npr.org. We are also on Instagram and Twitter. We are @planetmoney. I'm Kenny Malone. Thanks for listening.